Three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to the Fantasy Football Happy Hour podcast. I am Matt and I am back continuing the division previews this week, going to be looking at the AFC West or NFC West, excuse me. Should be quite a little bit of fun. But before we get there, surprisingly, we do have some news and notes. It is the slow time of year. It is the off-season time of year, but still we have, you know, quite a bit of interesting stuff going on. And we had last week, I talked about the AFC North and the new hopes in their backfield. They drafted a couple of players, Dylan Sampson and Quinshon Judkins, pictured here. Yesterday, Judkins was arrested in Broward County, Florida, on suspicion of domestic violence. So obviously, a very new and developing story. Hasn't had a court appearance or anything yet. But if you are in the middle of rookie drafts, as I am in some leagues, or you have rookie drafts that are yet to kick off, or you're looking at redraft, you need to start monitoring this because this has the potential to be a pretty big situation, something definitely you're going to want to keep an eye on, you're going to want to take a look at, because pretty serious charges, you know, he's being held. We'll see how that shakes out. But we have seen a lot of definitely stiff penalties for these kind of things when it comes to the personal conduct policy for the NFL. But this is also a player who has yet to play on a team that's got kind of a history of troubled situations. You know, the Browns have Deshaun Watson. Shedeur Sanders, another of the rookies, already has run afoul of the law in terms of getting speeding violations. That was kind of a story. The Browns just seem to struggle sometimes with the conduct of players. This is something to watch for. Jerome Ford was their leading rusher the last 2 years, kind of picking up when Nick Chubb was injured. He is still there. They do have the other rookie, Dylan Sampson, who went in the fourth round, maybe gets a bump up. Quinshon Judkins, a guy in all the rookie drafts that I've done so far, and I've done quite a few, has gone somewhere between, you know, pick three and pick six in the first round. That is a place where you're hoping to get a stud running back. And a lot of people thought he had the potential to be that going in the second round to Cleveland. This, an inauspicious beginning, certainly a concern in dynasty, but it will be a concern in redraft. You know, I made some adjustments to my rankings right now. We'll have to see how it plays out. You know, it, most of us felt looking at this Browns backfield in a vacuum prior to this, that he was probably going to be their lead back, but now is he going to be available? How does this impact things? So this is going to be a story that will be worth watching. Back to our main focus, our main thrust, and we are going to be diving into the NFC West as a preview. This is the third of the divisions. I go for the teams in order of finish. Last year, the number one team was the Los Angeles Rams. They finished 10-7. Among their losses, wide receiver Cooper Kupp was released, ended up signing with Seattle. We'll talk about him in a minute. DeMarcus Robinson left in free agency, ended up signing with San Francisco, so we'll talk about him. They did go out and pick up Davante Adams from the Jets. He pairs in with Puka Nacua. And then in the draft, they grabbed Jarquez Hunter, kind of a running back depth, and Terrence Ferguson, perhaps a tight end of the future. Last year, Matthew Stafford was quarterback 19, Kyren Williams running back 7. Davante Adams with the Raiders and Jets was wide receiver 11. Puka Nacua, only 11 games. He was wide receiver 3 on a points per game basis, but he was wide receiver 26 overall. Tyler Higbee, coming back from a torn ACL, was tight end 65. So how, you know, are we feeling about the fantasy for the Rams? I still like Matthew Stafford. I think he's a solid QB2 option. I still like Kyren Williams to lead this backfield. As long as he's healthy, we've seen him put up some huge numbers. He is still an RB1 for me in redraft. He is on the cusp of RB1 for me still in dynasty. We've seen no reason to doubt him. You know, he was, yes, originally a fifth round pick, but some players who have been later round picks have risen up and had a defined position. It's interesting to me, Jarquez Hunter seems to be going before Blake Corum in drafts. The thing that we have seen from the Rams consistently under Sean McVay's era is it doesn't really matter where you were drafted or how people felt about you coming in. You don't have a huge profile as a rookie. So Blake Corum not producing a lot as a rookie last year, only 58 carries, only a couple hundred yards, was not a big surprise. I think we will see him take a little bit of a step forward this year. And again, that depends on the health of Kyren Williams. If Kyren Williams is out there and doing his thing, there's really no reason for the Rams to bring him off the field. But I still prefer Blake Corum. And those people that are taking Jarquez Hunter thinking he's going to mix in right away in his rookie year have really not been paying attention to the Sean McVay era of the Rams. But either of them, to me, is still just a handcuff. I really am interested in Puka Nacua and Davante Adams. I think Adams probably more of a wide receiver too for me, but Puka Nacua, when he is healthy, he is a stud out there. As I mentioned, he was wide receiver 3 on a points per game basis last year, 18.8 points per game. That is pretty good. I think he is a wide receiver 1 as long as he is healthy. The number 2 team in the division, the Seattle Seahawks, they also finished 10-7 by percentage points were out, and they had a huge turnover. Their two primary quarterbacks are gone. Geno Smith traded to the Las Vegas Raiders. Sam Howell traded to the Minnesota Vikings. Their two longest tenured receivers gone. DK Metcalf traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tyler Lockett left in free agency for the Tennessee Titans. But they brought in a bunch of new players in the quarterback room. They brought in Sam Darnold from Minnesota, who factors to be their starter. They brought back Drew Lock, who spent last year with the Giants after being with the Seahawks prior to that, to be a veteran backup. And they drafted Jalen Milroe out of Alabama, kind of a development guy at quarterback. They brought in Cooper Kupp from the Rams to be a number 2 wide receiver. And they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was with the Saints last year, with his new offensive coordinator in Seattle, Clint Kubiak, who was with the Saints last year. They also drafted Elijah Arroyo at tight end to kind of be that tight end of the future. Last year, Sam Darnold under Kevin O'Connell was quarterback 9 for Minnesota. Ken Walker missed quite a chunk of time, finished as running back 27, but Zach Charbonnet finished as running back 25. He was more efficient on less touches, both in the run game and pass game. Be interesting to watch. Ken Walker going into a contract year. We also have a change of coordinators, probably more of a focus back on the run game. I think they're both going to be valuable. I have wondered if this is the year we start to see Charbonnet take a bigger chunk of that backfield. Something to watch, something to pay attention to, both in dynasty when you're looking long-term, but even in redraft. If you're grabbing Ken Walker thinking you've got to set it and forget it, top end RB2, that could be the case. That could not be the case. One player I am convinced is a set it and forget it is Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who we saw take a huge year 2 leap, was wide receiver 9 last year. And I think he's just going to keep going up. He is their number 1. Cooper Kupp, I like him probably in the wide receiver 3 range. Some of that's going to depend. What Sam Darnold are we going to get? We saw Sam Darnold last year in Minnesota we had not previously seen. Did something get unlocked that is now going to carry to the future? Or is it going to be a little bit more closer to maybe how we saw a Sam Darnold that ended last season, which is one of the reasons Minnesota didn't make a lot of effort to bring him back. I think Noah Fant, who is in a contract year himself, is still their tight end 1 this year. He was tight end 26 last year. But the future probably belonging to the talented tight end out of Miami, which is Elijah Arroyo. I think Arroyo is a great dynasty stash, especially if you have a talent.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Taxi squad, I don't expect big things this year. As I said, I think Fant is still their number one this year. Tight end has been a pretty good position in a Kubiak offense. You know, obviously his father, Gary, came off a tree, but they're all also tied into the Shanahan tree. Gary Kubiak cutting his teeth working for Mike Shanahan, then Kyle Shanahan working for him, and then so on and so forth. So a lot of those guys seem similar offensive philosophy. Tight end has usually been a position of interest in those offenses going back to the days of Shannon Sharp with the Denver Broncos. So I think this could be good for Noah Fant, especially since, you know, they have Cooper Kupp and Jackson Smith and Jigwa, but he would probably be a number three. They don't have a lot of impressive depth behind him. Marquez Valdes-Scantling at this point in time is kind of your deep threat, go long receiver. I don't expect him to have a lot of weekly fantasy relevance. Number three team in the West was the Arizona Cardinals. They finished 8-9 last year. They did not have any major departures. They didn't have a lot of people they brought in either. They brought in veteran Jacoby Brissett, who was with the Patriots last year to be that backup quarterback, and they brought back Say Jones to kind of be that number three receiver. But it's tough. Kyler Murray started at all 17 games last year, ended up as quarterback 10, but that's largely thanks to his rushing contribution. He still has yet to ever throw for 4,000 yards in a season. Last year, just over 3,821 TDs. James Conner, 16 games, very healthy, very productive season, finished as running back 11. Trey Benson as a rookie, running back 70. Does he start to take more of that backfield? That's something to watch this season. Marvin Harrison Jr., a little bit of a boom-bust kind of year. He had some huge games. He had some games where he wasn't really involved. Wide receiver 30. Michael Wilson, wide receiver 61 in his second year. The number two receiver there very clearly, but how much volume is there in this passing game? Because Trey McBride, simply a stud, tight end two. Now, if you're looking at this Arizona offense, you know, I think Kyler Murray is a quarterback you're taking. He can be in the low-end QB1. At worst, probably a high-end QB2. He is a very solid one. Rushing upside helps him. But in terms of passing game volume, you know, I love Trey McBride. I think he is a top two tight end. He and Brock Bowers and George Kittle are probably my top three. I think it's really him and Brock Bowers as one and two, especially in Dynasty, but even in redraft. Marvin Harrison Jr., a player that I want that's probably worth a weekly start, at least as a high-end flex. You know, I think he finished in the wide receiver three range last year, probably high-end wide receiver three. Maybe he gets up to wide receiver two this year. But beyond that, I just don't think there's enough volume in the way Arizona has run pass offense, especially with Kyler Murray. As I mentioned, we saw 17 full starts from Murray last year, a healthy 17 starts. He threw the ball 541 times. He's still only, he ended up with less than 3,900 passing yards. I just don't think he is ever going to develop into a big-time passing threat. So two receivers, you know, Michael Wilson, the guy that should be rostered, a guy that's probably a deep league flex consideration, that's kind of a bi-week fill-in consideration, but I don't think there's going to be enough volume. And really, I'm not even making a point to roster Zay Jones or Greg Dortch. Each of them will probably have one or two huge games in the year, but you'll never know when that's going to end up coming. I do like Connor to start the year, but Trey Benson, I'm not willing to give up on him. There was a lot of reasons we were high on him coming out of the draft, and I think some of those reasons still exist. Will he start to get a bigger share? And if Connor gets injured, I think there's a chance Trey Benson steps up and takes over this backfield. I think Trey Benson's still the future. It's just the future is not here yet. The last of the teams in that division last year, shockingly, the San Francisco 49ers. They finished 6-11, a really injury-marred season. This offseason, Elijah Mitchell left and went to Kansas City. They traded James Mason, the running back, to Minnesota. They traded wide receiver Deebo Samuel over to the Washington Commanders, and they lost a ton of big names and production on the defensive side. Among their additions, they brought in Mac Jones to be the backup quarterback. Once upon a time, Shanahan looked at him when he had that number three overall pick, ended up taking Trey Lance. Now he has Mac Jones. Jones actually looked really good when he was called upon in Jacksonville last year. They brought in DeMarcus Robinson. He gives them a little bit of depth at wide receiver. He also just pled no contest to a DUI charge. Be interesting to see what kind of punishment the NFL hands out for that. Last year's fantasy finishes, Brock Purdy finished as quarterback 14. I think he is a solid quarterback two with some quarterback one upside. Christian McCaffrey struggled with injuries, finished as running back 69. Behind him, they have still have Isaac Grendo, who was running back 48. They also picked up an interesting rookie in Jordan James, a fifth round pick. So those are kind of your backs in the backfield. If McCaffrey is healthy, and I think the fact that they moved on from Mitchell and Mason indicates that he is at least healthy right now coming into start. I like him as a running back one. We've seen him do incredible things, especially in this offense. Among the wide receivers, Ricky Pearsall recovered from a preseason shooting that caused him to miss the first part of the season, finished as wide receiver 82, looked good at the end of the season. Juwan Jennings, their most consistent wide receiver, was wide receiver 24 last year. Brandon Ayuk, only in 7 games before tearing his ACL, finished as wide receiver 105. He is still recovering from that injury. Very possible he misses the first few games this season. I think Juwan Jennings is actually the wide receiver I would want to target. Still goes a little bit under the radar. He was their most consistent guy last year, saw over 100 targets. As I mentioned, finishing as wide receiver 24. I like him more in the wide receiver 3 range. I think Ricky Pearsall takes a little bit of a step up, and I still like Brandon Ayuk once he returns. But Jennings, a very solid and underrated guy. George Kittle finished tight end 3. I have him tight end 3 again. I think he may end up being the best part of the passing game. He's certainly a stud that has produced time and again. A little bit of an injury risk, but he's been fairly healthy the last few years, and again, has great chemistry with Brock Purdy. So that's where these teams finished last year. How am I feeling about them this year? Well, I still think the 49ers are going to make a little bit of a rebound with some better health. And I think the Rams are in contention. I don't think anyone in this division wins more than 10, maybe 11 games. I would also not be surprised if it's a couple of 9 and 10 win teams fighting for the playoffs toward the end. The Seahawks and the Cardinals remain a little bit more of an enigma to me. The Cardinals ended up 8-9 last year. They had some very good and surprising wins. They have some interesting pieces, but it's hard to tell if they are ever going to be truly consistent. I don't think it was just Kingsbury that was holding them back from some consistency and competing at a higher level. And Seattle, they still have a pretty strong defense. I like Mike McDonald as a head coach. A lot of it is going to depend on how this offense comes together and how Sam Darnold looks in a new situation. I think they have some interesting pieces. They are always going to compete. I think all of the teams in this division will finish with 6 or 7 wins at the worst, you know, kind of like it was last year. But I think they're all going to be bunched together. They're probably going to beat up on each other. And it could be a very tight race down to the division final. But I don't really, you know, in years past, you've looked at either the Rams, you know, when they first got Stafford, or the 49ers a couple of years ago and thought this is a big-time Super Bowl contender. I don't necessarily feel that way about any of the NFC West teams this year. I think they're going to be competitive. I think they're going to be big factors in the NFC. But at this point in time, I really don't feel like any of them is probably the upper echelon of the NFC the way that I feel about an Eagles team or the Lions or the Commanders at this point in time. So we'll see how things turn out, you know. I even have a little bit more affinity for Tampa Bay and what they're doing down there. But there's some good teams, and I think there are going to be some tough outs here in the NFC West. That'll do it for us today. I will be back next week talking about a personal favorite division for me, and that is the AFC West. You won't want to miss that. Until then, have a wonderful Sunday.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.